Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, thankful, grateful, and as always blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. Oh, I was sleeping good. As I say, this is our last day of 6 a.m. We go back to our regular time on tomorrow. Again, today is our last day at 6 a.m. We go back to our regular time on tomorrow of 7 a.m. And all I can say is, yes, Lord, because I was tired this morning and didn't want to get up. So I am thankful to God for waking me up, and he woke me up. So thank you, Father God. Father God, I thank you for this day that you have made, Lord. I ask you, as we get ready to go into your word, to increase as your daughter decreases. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your divine and glorious sight. For you, Father God, are the strength of my life and my life. It is you, God. You have redeemed me with a cost. And Father, I thank you for Savior Jesus Christ. I thank you for my Savior Jesus Christ. I thank you that he saved my soul and that he has made me whole. Father God, I give this word, I give myself to you. Use me, Lord, for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, God, again for a new day, another day, a do-over. I'm a little hoarse this morning, but I'm all good. I'm not sick. I don't feel bad. I'm just hoarse. But I thank God. So let's get in our word, family. It is a good word. We're talking the prediction, the prophetic word of Christ that he's coming out of Egypt. We talk about so many different things. Isaiah gives a lesson on where we need to be. Isaiah is doing his best to help us to be better. He was a prophet, not just any prophet. He was a great prophet. And he did everything to get Israel back on track. And honestly, if we read Isaiah, he will do everything to get us back on track. Because we need to be back on track in order to make it in with the Father. So let's get started. God has sent us a mighty Savior. It's our word for this morning. God has sent us a mighty Savior. And all I can say is his name is Jesus. Can y'all say that with me? His name is Jesus. And I am so grateful that he chose to love him. That he chose to love me. His name is Jesus. Mighty Savior. Wonderful Counselor. Okay, King. Lord, Lord. Everlasting Father. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm filled up this morning. Just woke up, as the song says, woke up this morning with my mind on Jesus. That's how I feel today. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on the Lord. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. So get started. Get started. Everybody got their Bible? Well, let's get going, y'all. And we are in Isaiah chapter 17. Our title is coming out of Isaiah chapter 19. And we're moving forward. And it says this, the burden against the masters. Behold, the masters will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. The cities of Era are forsaken. They will be flocks, which lie down, and no one will make them afraid. The fortress also will cease from Ephraim, the kingdom from Damascus, the remnant of Syria. They will be as the glory of the children of Israel, says the Lord of hosts. In that day it shall come to pass that the glory of Jacob will wane, and the fatness of his flesh grow lean. It will be as when the harvester gathers the grain, the reap and reaps the head from its arms. It shall be as he gathers heads of grain in the valley of Ephraim, yet grain and grapes will be left in it. Like the shaking of an olive tree, two or three olives at the top of the utmost brow, four or five in its most fruitful branches, says the Lord God of Israel. In that day, a man will look to his maker, and his eyes will have respect for the Holy One of Israel. He will not look to the altars, the work of his hands. He will not respect what his fingers have made, nor the wooden images, nor the licensed altar. I'm sorry, not the incense altar. In that day, there we go. Thank you. In that day, his strong cities will be as a forsaken bar and an utmost branch which they left because of the children of Israel. And there will be desolation because you have forgotten the God of your salvation and have not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold. Therefore, you will plant pleasant plants and set out foreign seasons. In the day, you will make your plant to grow, and in the morning, you will make your seed to flourish. But the harvest will be a heap of ruins in the day of grief and desperate sorrow. Woe to the multitude of many people who make a noise like the roar of the sea, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations will rush like the rushing of mighty waters, but God will rebuke them, and they will flee far away and be chased like the chase of the mountain before the wind, like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. Then behold, at evening time, trouble, and before the morning, he is no more. It's the portion of those who plunder us, and a lot of those who rob us. Woe to the land saddled with buzzing wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, which sends ambassadors by sea, even in vessels of reed on the water, saying, go swift messengers to a nation tall and smooth of skin, to a people terrible from the beginning onward, a nation powerful and treading down whose land the river divides. All inhabitants of the world and dwellers of the earth, when he lifts up a banner on the mountains, you see it. And when he blows a trumpet, you hear it. But so the Lord said to me, I will take my rest, and I will look from my dwelling place like a clear in sunshine, like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. For before the harvest, when the bud is perfect and the sour grape is ripening in the flower, I will both cut off the sprig with pruning hooks and take away and cut down the branches. They will be locked together for the mountain birds of prey and for the beasts of the earth. The birds of prey will summer on them, and all the beasts of the earth will winter on them. In that time, a present will be brought to the Lord of hosts, from a people tall and smooth as skin, and from a people terrible from the beginning onward, a nation powerful and treading down, whose land the rivers divide, the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, Zion. Isaiah chapter 19 through verse 26. And it says, verse 6. And it says, the burden against Egypt. Behold, the Lord rides on a swift cloud and will come into Egypt. The idols of Egypt will totter at his presence, and the heart of Egypt will melt in its midst. I will set Egyptians against Egyptians. Everyone will fight against his brother, and everyone against his neighbor, city against city, kingdom against kingdom. The spirit of Egypt will fail in its midst. I will destroy their council, and they will consult the idols and the charmers, the mediums and the sorcerers. The Egyptians I will give into the hand of a cruel master, and a fierce king will rule over them. That's the Lord. The Lord of hosts. Boom. The water will fail from the sea, and the river will be wasted and dried up. The river will turn foul. The brooks of defense will be emptied and dried up. The reeds and rushes will wither. The papyrus reeds by the river, by the mouth of the river, and everything sown by the river will wither, be driven away, and be no more. The fishermen also will mourn. All those will lament who cast hooks into the river. And they will languish who spread nets on the water. Moreover, those who work in fine flax and those who weave fine fabric will be ashamed, and its foundations will be broken. All who make wages will be troubled of soul. Surely the princes of Zoan are fools. Pharaoh's wise counselors give foolish counsel. How do you say to Pharaoh, I am the son of the wise, the son of ancient kings? Where are they? Where are your wise men? Let them tell you now, and let them know that what the Lord of hosts has proposed against Egypt. The prince of Zion have become fools. The princes of Nineveh are deceived. They have also deluded Egypt, those who are the mainstay of its tribes. The Lord has mingled a perverse spirit in her midst, and they have caused Egypt to err in all her works, as a drunken man staggers in his vomit. Neither will there be any work but Egypt, which the head of a tall palm tree of bulrush may be. In that day, Egypt will be like women and will be afraid and fear because of the weaving of the hand of the Lord of hosts, which he waved over it, and the land of Judah will be a terror to Egypt. Everyone who makes the mention of it will be afraid in himself because of the counsel of the Lord of hosts, which has determined against it. Speaking on the Exodus. In that day, five cities in the land of Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear by the Lord of hosts. One will be called the city of destruction. In that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the God at it, to the Lord at its border. And it will be for a sign and for a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. But they will cry to the Lord because of the oppressors, and he will send them a Savior and a mighty one, and he will deliver them. Then the Lord will be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day and will make sacrifice and offering. Yes, they will make a vow to the Lord and perform it. And the Lord will strike Egypt. He will strike and heal it. They will return to the Lord, and he will be entreated by them and heal them. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrians will come into Egypt, and the Egyptians into Assyria, and the Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. In the day, Israel will be one of three with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, and bless is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. In the year that Tartan came to Ashdod with Sargon, the king of Assyria sent him, and he fought against Ashdod and took it. And the same time the Lord spoke to Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saying, go and remove the sackcloth from your body and take your sandals off your feet. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. Oh, my goodness. You know and I know. If there was somebody walking naked and barefoot in this day and age, they would be put in a psych ward. Naked and barefoot. And then to say, I'm a prophet of God, too. They would be like, yeah, right. There you go, bud. And then it goes on to say, then the Lord said, just as my servant Isaiah has been walking naked and barefoot 3 years. Can y'all hear that? He walked naked and barefoot for 3 years. I mean, that on a test I had to take. 3 years. Then the Lord said, just as my servant Isaiah has walked naked, I'm saying it again so it gets into your understanding, and barefoot 3 years for a sign and a wonder against Egypt and Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptians as prisoners and the Ethiopians as captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, with their buttocks uncovered to the shame of Egypt. Then they shall be afraid and ashamed of Ethiopia, their expectation, and Egypt their glory. And the inhabitants of this territory will say in that day, surely such is our expectation. Wherever we flee, the help to be delivered from the king of Assyria, and how shall we escape? Wow. What a word. Enslavement. God is talking about enslavement. He's talking about Moses. He's talking about Jesus, our Lord and Savior. There's so much to unpack in this word today. But let's see what Dr. Stanley has to say in our life lesson for Isaiah chapter 17 through chapter 20, verse 6. And again, for those that are just joining this moving forward experience, this is Bible study. Our assignment is to read that entire Bible from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21 in 1 year. So far, we have done just that. We are getting down to the wire. We've read a lot of Bible this year, And all I can say is thanks be to the Lord God, who causes us to triumph in his name and to complete the assignments he has given us. And so to get back on track, I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for each day of the year. I am coming out of the New King James Version. And when we come to life questions, life answers, life lessons, those are from Dr. Stanley. And so when you hear me say Dr. Stanley says, that's because I'm reading a life lesson or I'm reading the questions or there's something that Dr. Stanley has given commentary on. So all commentary is from Dr. Charles Stanley. And all I can say is he is awesome. And I am so grateful to be using this Bible this year. If you have been with us for a minute, you know we have gone through a lot of Bibles. Every year we read from Genesis to Revelation. For the last 5 years, I've done that. And this year was the first year we were able to actually start on January 1st, and we will probably end on December the 31st as planned. God willing is what I say. Never make plans unless you understand that all plans are under the Lord's purview. Getting back to the lesson. This life lesson is this. In Isaiah 17:7, man will look to his maker and his eyes will have respect for the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah pictures a future time, but we can look to our maker and have respect for the Holy One of Israel right now. At this very moment, we can enjoy the blessings of intimate connection to our God. Can y'all say with me, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord, because God is so good. He's so good, and his mercy endures forever and all time. He loves us like that. And when we get into Isaiah chapter 19, verse 20, he will send them a Savior and a mighty one, and he will deliver them. That is our title, part of our title for this morning. We expect the Bible to tell us of a Savior coming to deliver Israel, but this text speaks of a Savior coming to rescue Egypt. Israel's longtime nemesis. Our God is a global God, and he wants to bless all people. Hallelujah. I love that word. Our God is a global God. We want to think that he only resides in our nation, but he resides in every nation. God resides with everyone, whether we know they do. There's always some that will, they call him a higher power, but they know the Lord. They may call him Elohim because they know the Lord. They may call him Abba, Father, because they know the Lord. They may call him Yah. They may call him Jehovah. They know God. Whatever name they may use, they are talking about the Most High. And all we can say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your Son. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for the one that takes care of us and our coming in and our going out. In Isaiah chapter 19, verse 25, blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands. And Israel, my inheritance. In the Exodus, God severely judged Egypt. He destroyed Assyria after the deportation of the northern kingdom. And many times he judged rebellious Israel. Yet, God loves to show mercy, not exercise judgment. And we know in the Assyrian exile, when they took the northern kingdom, when we talk about the lost tribe, that's the lost tribe. And when Assyria took them, it spread them all over the world. They sold them into slavery, and they do not know who they are. They don't know. We don't know. We are hoping, we are praying We are asking God to show us who we belong to. Who is it that who's your daddy? And we want to have this God. And I'm thankful that he is that here. And I am beneath. As we go into Isaiah chapter 20, verse 2, remove the sackcloth from your body and take your sandals off your feet. And I love how Dr. Stanley puts this. God will take extraordinary measures to get our attention when we have walked away from him and stand in danger of severe discipline. Is he trying to get your attention right now? Well, when I read this Isaiah word, he got my attention. 3 years of nakedness, no shoes, no clothes. Can you imagine being uncovered in the rain? It's cold. But then in Israel, the rain comes and the rain goes. But Isaiah was a prophet that didn't play. He did not play with the word. He did not play with God. He did not play. And you better understand, as I say, you better ask somebody. And play. So let's go into our psalm word for this morning. And it's Psalm 106, verses 40 through 48. It says, therefore the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people, so that he abhorred his own inheritance. Just talking about it. And he gave them into the hand of the Gentiles, and those who hated them ruled over them. That sounds like some of our own stories, does it not? Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjugation under the hand. Meantime, to deliver them, but they rebelled in their counsel and were brought low to their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cries. And for the sake, and for their sake, he remembered his covenant and related according to the multitude of his mercy. He also made them to be pitied by all those who carried them away captive. Wow. Give us, O Lord, our God, and gather us from among the Gentiles to give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. Blessed be the Lord of Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say, y'all say it with me, amen. One more time. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. And let all the people say amen. Praise the Lord, y'all. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 25:13 is like the cold of snow in time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. But he refreshes the soul of his master. And again, family, excuse the hoarseness this morning. I had choir rehearsal, actually two choir rehearsals last night, and I was singing my heart out. It was just that good. And so shout out to choir director, Sister Carolyn, who you all know from Carolyn's Gift, as well as Brother Al. It's going to be awesome. So thanking God for that. Ooh, thanking God. I just get all giddied up for Jesus. And in chapter 6, verses 1 through 18, in 2 Corinthians, again, what a mighty word. We then, as workers together with him, we work for the Lord. Also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. He says, in acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Come on now. God sent us a Savior, did he not? He will send them a Savior and a mighty one. He sent us a Savior and a mighty one. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you, and in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulation, in need, the distresses, in stripes, in employment, in torment, in labor, in sleepiness, in fasting, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as taken and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. You what a word. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, and also be open, and you also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together, here it is, with unbelievers. So many times we are unequally yoked with non-believers. God wants husbands and wives to both believe in him. God wants mothers and fathers to believe in him. God wants us to not be unequally yoked. Don't meddle around with somebody that you meet in the club. Might be a great person, but think where you left them. So if they're in the club picking you up, they may be in the club picking somebody else up. Let God lead your boy in to you. You've got to go to the club to look for him. He might find you at the grocery store. You don't know God's will. I might find you at his auntie's house. You don't know God's promise. Hallelujah. And as we continue to do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, I say it again, but what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Baal? But what part as a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Praise the Lord today. And as we go into our life lessons and life examples from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 1, we plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Ooh. We may receive the grace of God in vain in many ways by failing to draw upon its power to live in a godly way, by hearing but never accepting the gospel, or by shifting allegiance to another gospel. 2 Corinthians 11 and 4, which we will get to. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, it says, in the day of salvation, I have helped you. God sent us Jesus. Can we say amen? to God be the glory for his love, for his grace, for his mercy, for his son. Hallelujah. For us. He said it never makes sense to put off a decision to accept God's offer of salvation. How many have waited too long? And anyway, why would anyone want to delay the joy that comes through a vital relationship with God? All I can say is thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. This verse usually gets quoted in reference to choosing a marriage partner. Now, while that's certainly a legitimate application, marriage is not the context here. All of life is the context here. So we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians. As soon as I get my other Bible here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Corinthians, again, chapter 15, verse 33. You may go above or below to get it in context. And to get it into context, we're going to start at verse 29. And it's just basically effects of denying the resurrection, because there are those that don't believe in Jesus. But we do. You know, last night, I just happened to be getting ready to bed when a commercial comes on with Ron Reagan about something that's dealing with church and state. And, you know, he made the comment that this organization was for atheists and agnostics. And then at the end, his little commentary on this organization, he says, and I'm something atheist and I'm not afraid to burn in hell. And all I can say is, his parents' address was 66 in California after his father left the presidency. And all I can say is, if you're not afraid to burn in hell, then God has a place already fixed there, already made there, in that pit with your name on it. Folks get all caught up in that du jour, whatever the today. And atheism and agnostics. I'd like today, many of y'all, first of all, I don't believe in all that stuff. You know, I'm an atheist or I'm an agnostic. Well, you know what? If you're not afraid to burn in hell, good for you, because I am. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the mighty Father God that created the heavens and earth and everything therein. He created every planet, every galaxy that the Hubble is going through. God did it. And when he gets to the very end, he's going to see the hands of God. Already they've shown the face of God. Understand. Don't play with God. Don't play with God. But you look, you know, oh, I'm just so cool. Ha, ha, ha. Okay. Ha, ha, ha. When you die. And folks write on your obituary, he's not afraid of burning in hell. Be careful what you say. God just might give it to you. And this is what it says. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. If in the manner of man I have fought with beasts and evidence, what advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Paul didn't play. He did not play. And warning for 2 Corinthians chapter 6. God tells us not to be bound to people who don't believe in Jesus Christ, just like he told Israel to be separated from the pagan nations around them. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be equally yoked. We go there again. Together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? We must be careful with how we live, because compromise can be destructive. It can lead us to take a step in the wrong direction, a direction that could eventually lead us to ungodly, harmful actions. This is because compromise is like a fly. We begin with godly convictions and good morals, but the moment we negotiate with the world and validate ways of evil, our value begins to slip. Each conciliation leads to a more serious cooperation with sin. That's especially true when we try to nuance our conviction concerning the word of God. In fact, we take our first step in the wrong direction. When we make judgments about what is significant and insignificant in the word of God, I say this, every word of God is significant. Every word is significant. We start the slide by choosing what we want to believe. From there, each compromise weakens our conscience and desensitizes our spirit to God's command. When what happens, we are in more trouble than we are capable of realizing. When living in sin no longer bothers us, we stop listening to the Holy Spirit, who alerts us to sin in the first place. The unfortunate truth is, when we compromise with evil, we always lose. We will miss the abundant life God has for us. We will fail to recognize God's wonderful purpose for our life, and therefore miss the fulfillment and blessings that are available to us. The more we compromise, the more we will suffer the consequences. We can't compromise with the devil. We can't compromise with sin. Sin is sin. And the devil is the devil, and he cannot and will never be on the level with our Savior. We got to speak the truth. Wrong is wrong. A lie is a lie. The truth is the truth. And ugly is ugly. Call it like it is. Running around acting like I hate you because you don't look like me. I don't like you because you don't sound like me. Oh God, they smell, so I don't want to be bothered with them. They should say that again, and those and all the bigotry and all the things that God is against comes out because we think we're doing what God says. But what God says through Jesus Christ is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And to love your neighbor at that. That's what the word of God says. So we got to stand on this word. We can't pick and choose. And I love what Dr. Stanley says. He says, are you headed in the right direction? Are you doing as God instructed you to do? Are you waiting for his timing? If not, get off sure path to destruction and get right with God. I like to say, get in your prayer. Whew, thank you, Lord. Surrender your life to Christ and obey God in everything you do, because the world can only offer you heartache, and that's never worth giving up the wonderful plan God has for you. Trust God today, family. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and allow him and watch him to rest your path. So thank you, God, this morning for this mighty word. Thank you, God, for each of you who joined this very worst host today. But I thank God for this mighty, awesome word today. And I thank Sister Carolyn who has sent us our word for this morning. And our word for this morning from Sister Carolyn is this. With God in your life, you got everything you need to be anything you want. You can do all things through him. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Again, right on point. Sister Carolyn always comes. God just puts that word in the attitude. And we're saving this morning with God has sent us a mighty Savior. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. And on our prayer today, brought near, bear one another's burden to thereby fulfill the law of Christ. We know to love your neighbor as yourself. Compassionate caretaker. And I like to say Jesus. You are the kindness that meets everyone right where they are. As I become more like you, I naturally share others' burden more readily. I have known the blessing of friends helping me lift the weight of my problems. They give me courage to persevere in the trial. It's so much easier knowing I'm not alone in it. You are so wise in your intentions to set us in families and communities. I don't know what I would do without the support of your people. Thank you for your presence that is evident. No matter the time of day or the season of the year, your presence is your people showing up in love for one another is a sacred expression. There is nothing so special. I am grateful for the opportunity to share in your loving kindness. Stick with people through the treasury. The changes of life, offering support and true friendship. And the question for this morning as we wrap up is this, who is your life? Who in your life helps you carry the weight of hard situations? Think out there, who do you have to help you? All I got is God, and I thank God for my children. I thank God for my church family. Thanking God for my pastor, my mother, my siblings. Thanking God for my aunties and uncles. All those who have come before. Thanking God for a fantastic husband that I have. I'm grateful for the life I have and for the life I've been given. So, Father, God, as we wrap up this morning, we pray. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Church announcement, we will be back at 7 a.m. starting tomorrow. So praise the Lord, everybody. And I will be back on my show that I love to have before I come to you where I get poured into. So Morning Glory Nation, I will be there. So thanking God for all of you, thanking God for his word, thanking God for his faith, just thanking God because there is none like him. And he sent us a Savior, and his name is Jesus. So thank God for the Savior every day. And just remind yourself, I am loved by God. One more time, I am loved. And that is a word and I'll admit for today. I am loved by God. Have a blessed day, family. And know that you are a blessing. We are blessed beyond measure. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. Thank you so much for joining me this morning at 6 a.m. And we will be back again tomorrow at 7. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap.